with us. And we're so glad this morning to have Brother Henderson to come and speak for us. And been in the ministry over 70 years, and just so glad to have him be a part of our church and preaching for us this morning.
You may open your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 3. When you have gotten to... I preached 35 years before I saw one of these things. Acts chapter 3 says, now Peter and John, wait right there just a moment. It's awfully easy to run away from things, but I want you to see who's here. Peter and John, they were fishermen. That was their occupation. One day while fishing, Jesus came along and said to them, I want you to become a part of my apostolic group. And those two men, along with others, became the apostles of Jesus Christ. And great men they were. In their time, they were called ignorant and unlearned. But boy, they were everything but ignorant and unlearned. They enrolled in the University of Jesus Christ and went there 3.5 years and had him as a teacher. You think they were ignorant? Forget it, friend. In fact, if you want to know how brilliant they really were, you could turn your Bible back one page, not a long way, just one page, and this man Peter is preaching. He preached a short sermon, and 3,000 people got saved. That's 10 times as many as we have here in the auditorium, just from one sermon. That man, John, was the most prolific writer you've ever imagined. And sometime you'll read his gospel called the Gospel of John. You'll read the book of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. You'll read the book of Revelation. And when you're through, if you think he was ignorant, you come and see me. I need to talk to you. But these two men are right in the changeover time. They'd been worshiping in the temple. Now they're going to start worshiping in the church. But we're just changing over from that. And they still have an allegiance to that temple. They still love that temple and still love all the good things that have gone on for them there. And they're going up there to pray in the afternoon. When you look down the street, do you see those two handsome gentlemen coming? That's Peter and John. They're walking very deliberately. They're going to the house of God. They have a countenance that beams with the glory of God. They've been with Jesus Christ. They know Him as Savior. They're going up there to pray. What a meeting this is going to be. Aren't you anxious for me to read a little bit more now? All right. They went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the 9th hour. And a certain lame man. Now I want to add the third person to our group. These two brilliant, strong fishermen, made apostles, made men of God, made outstanding personalities. They're going up there. And there at the gate that goes into the temple, there was a lame man. A man who'd been lame from his mother's womb. He had a birth defect. And therefore he was considered unclean. It said here in the verse that he was carried. Sometime when the clock is more friendly with me than it is right now, I'll spend some time talking to you about how many people in the world have to be carried. They carried this man up there. Some people have to be carried spiritually. Some have to be carried emotionally. Some have to be carried politically. Some have to be carried politics, and I'll not get into that. But he had been carried. He's a beggar. That's all he knows how to do. His feet will not work. His legs will not stand. He's a beggar. And they took him up there daily to the temple and laid him at the gate called Beautiful. Boy, it was a beautiful gate. Now, we're not talking about just a little garden gate here. We're talking about a massive gate. This gate is so large that it took 20 men to open and close it. It was made of hardwood, the finest that you could find, the best that you could find. And then it was overlaid with Corinthian brass and polished to the highest possible sheen. And then came the artists and did all of their work inscribed into that door. It was such a majestic thing that people came from around the world just to look at the door of that gate. It was an amazing thing. People were just enraptured by it. This is where this fellow is. Now, with all of that, let me remind you, it's still a gate. That means it's going to control ingress and egress of something. And in this case, it's people. There are some people they do not want in that temple area. People like folks, that lame man laying, they didn't want him in there. They thought he was unclean. If you were blind, you could not go in. If you were deaf, you could not go in. If you were mute, you could not go in. If you had a malady of almost any sort, you could not go in. So here lays this poor man out there who'd never seen inside the temple. And he's laying out there waiting. And here comes these two nice-looking men. I bet he grabs that cup and gives her a good shake with those few coins he had to get their attention. These two guys look like they got it. You know, you can look like you can have it and not really have it. But they look like they got it. So he's shaking his cup. He's asking in alms from them. And he's expecting something. But Peter looked on him in verse number 4, fastened his eyes upon him with John, and said, "Look on us. We want your undivided attention." Boy, and now his spirits are way up there. These guys are going to give me a ton this time. "Look on us. We want your undivided attention. And when you're delivering the message between life and death, you need undivided attention. You need people paying attention to the sovereign words of Almighty God, and that's going to come from these men." So he said, "Look on us." And he gave heed, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." Don't you know his spirit went down? But he modified it quickly. Peter modified that quickly by saying, "But such as I have, I don't have silver and gold. I cannot meet your economic needs. I cannot meet all the needs of your life in that capacity. But I have something you need, and I'm going to give it to you. I brought it for you. I have something you need here." And look right here in the middle of verse number 6 now. And he said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." That poor withered man said, "Are you kidding me? I can't rise up. I can't walk. I had to be carried here, man. What do you think you're talking about? You're talking about something that's absolutely impossible. I can't rise up and I can't walk." But great old Simon, with that strong fisherman's hand, said, "Let me help you." May I digress just long enough to say, those that have just recently been introduced to Jesus Christ need a helping hand. They need our hand. They need the hand of every member of this congregation. We need to give them a hand. He said, "Give me a hand. I'll help you." And oh, we are in the helping business when it comes right down to it. He reached down and took that little bony hand in his big, strong hand and raised him right up off the ground like he had never been in all of his lifetime before. And the Bible says immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Immediately. It didn't take a whole mess of time now. They didn't have to have one of these kind of prayer meetings where, "How's your hearing?" and all that. Just immediately it happened. when he said, I'm going to give you this gift, get up and walk. And the man standing there for just a second, I guess. And he says to himself, man, I'm standing up. This is good. I like this. I never have done this before, but I like this. And so look what he does in verse number 8. He just has a Baptist fit. He is leaping up, stood, and walked. Those feet hadn't done that in all of his lifetime long. And I tell you, when you meet Jesus Christ, you're going to have some emotions that you never had all of your lifetime long. You're going to have some treasures you never dreamed you'd have. You're going to have some emotion you never dreamed would come through your life. And this man said, I like this. I like this. In fact, I like this so well, I can't hardly keep my feet on the ground. Now he's jumping up and down. He's hopping up and down. Guess what he does, which direction he goes when he finds out he can walk. Look here in verse number 9. Now, verse number 8, leaping in, he stood and walked and entered into the temple of God. He'd never been to the house of God in all of his life. I maintain that once you meet Jesus Christ, you ought to get in His house and get with His people and sing His songs and read His book and that kind of thing. He made a beeline for the temple. He'd never seen the other side of that gate. He'd never heard the choirs of God sing in that temple. He'd never heard the prophets preach in that temple. He'd never seen the priest with that fair mitre that said, Holiness unto God on the front of it. He'd never seen the priest wear that regal robe that had pomegranates and gold bells all across the bottom of it. He'd never seen the priest go into that behind the veil with a bowl of blood in his hand to make some thing with sin for a season. He'd never seen all that. And he's just dying to get in there and see it. So he's making a beeline for the house of God. But he got cut off with sightseers. You know how it is when you have an automobile accident, the sightseers? Well, the sightseers all begin to run out here. Remember, Simon, Peter, and John, important people, took time out to witness to a beggar. Now they got the whole blooming courtyard full of people. Everybody's coming out from everywhere. They're coming out of the woodwork to see what happens. And they're seeing this man. He's still leaping. He's still walking. He's still going. He's still praising God. I'll tell you, when you get saved, it ought to do something to your foot. It ought to do something to your hand. It ought to do something to your tongue. It ought to do something to your eye. It ought to do something to your whole anatomy. This man just having the time of his life, and the people are looking at it and looking at Peter and John. And Peter said, now, folks, don't look at us. You think we did this thing. We didn't do it. Not like the man who went to the healing service and said, pray for my hearing. The guy stuck his fingers in his ear and said, how's your hearing now? He said, I don't know. It's not till next Tuesday. But this one is real. This one is going on. This is happening. And Peter began to say to that crowd that are gathered out there now, looking at him, verse number 12, when Peter saw it, he answered the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly upon us, as though we had by our own power or holiness, we made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified His Son, Jesus Christ, whom ye delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let Him go. God's glorified His Son. God is glorifying His Son. But you denied the Holy One and the Just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. And kill the Prince of Life. You dirty-hearted reprobates, look what you've done. You killed the Prince of Life. You killed the only opportunity you had. But I have this information for you. If you will repent, turn from your wicked ways, seek the face of God, Turn from your present doings. Because I know that through ignorance you did it. And I want you to know the people that are running around here denying the Bible and denying Jesus Christ, feel sorry for them. They're doing it by ignorance. They're ignorantly doing these things. And Peter said, your only hope is repentance. And it wasn't long with these kinds of carryings on that the Caesar called for Peter. Herod called for Peter. Put him in jail. He said, if you're going to do that kind of preaching, we're going to keep you locked up. You're not going to do it out on the streets. They locked him up and put him between soldiers and handcuffed him to them. But an angel came and turned him loose. Right back on the street, that joker went, preaching away. And just to cut right through much of the happening, he kept on until the Herod said, I'm going to kill you. You keep talking about a crucified Christ, you're going to get the same thing. I'm going to crucify you. And a legend has it, and I cannot verify it scripturally, but a legend has it that Simon Peter was crucified. But when it came time for the crucifixion, he said, turn the cross bottom side up. Put the top down in the hole. Let me die hanging with my feet up in the air because I don't deserve to die like my Lord died. I'm unworthy to die like that. Let me die upside down. Poor old John, he kept on preaching. They couldn't do anything with him. And they kept putting him into prison and a lot of other things that I haven't the time to talk to you about. But when they couldn't do anything with him, the powers that be said, you know, we have an island out in the Aegean Sea, like the Alcatraz off of San Francisco, you know. We have one of those kind of islands. Let's put old John out there and let him starve to death. That'll put a stop to him. We'll not hear his big tongue anymore lashing us about being deniers and killers of the Prince of Life. Put him out there and let him die. And they did. He didn't cooperate. He didn't die. He just kept living and God kept blessing him. And God kept sustaining him. God kept doing things for him. And he had a revelation. Now, he didn't have a vision. He didn't have a dream. Not that kind of thing. He had a revelation. God pulled the curtain back and let him see some things that he had never seen before. And I want to read you just a little bit of what he saw. Just a tiny bit. Maybe just enough to whet your appetite. And you'll begin to look further into it on your own. And this time I don't want you to turn in your Bible. I don't want you to leave your Bible. I want you just to listen. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. So I'm going to read from the most sacred book you ever saw in all of your life, the Bible. I'm going to read a few things that John saw that was revealed to him. Just a tidbit. That's all I'm going to do. And I hope you'll get interested enough in it. Here is John out on this island there expecting to go back and get his bloated carcass one day and haul it off. But he didn't die. He just kept living. And he said, while he was out there, that he had a revelation. And the revelation was, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them. Won't be a bad neighbor, will he? He'll be a good neighbor. I will dwell with him, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. We didn't see it, but last night, a lot of good people shed a lot of hot tears about things that they can't control. It just seems like God will never answer them. And they're in distress, they're in pain. Listen to the revelation. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. John, you are seeing things that are amazing. There'll be no more death. Neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Oh, I wish I could go to every hospital in the nation and see every little bald-headed child whose hair's all come out from the treatments they're taking. I wish I could say to them, no more pain. This is what John is seeing. No more pain. For the former things are passed away. Amen. John, what else did you see? He said, here's what I saw. That he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all of them which you, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Who's not going to go to the right place? The fearful. He said, but Dr. Henderson, I'm afraid. When I was 9 years old, the old country preacher, farmer preacher, read to me out of the Bible while I sat trembling. He read to me out of the Bible that Jesus is coming. One was to be taken, the other would be left. I did not want to be left. He said two would be grinding at the mill. One would be taken, the other would be left. And I want you to know I was afraid. My little hands trembled. My little feet ached in my shoes. I was afraid. Now, I know you psychologists and all the brainy crowd will say, well, fear is not a good motive to use. But Noah, moved by fear, prepared an ark, saved his house, and became the heir of righteousness and condemned the whole blooming world. So in my fear, I trusted Jesus Christ. And my fear was all turned to joy all of a sudden. Like, I was no longer afraid I wouldn't go. I was afraid it just lasted too long before I did go. All of those folks, let me give you that short list again. Unbelieving. People have laughed at me to my face. I haven't minded. They've said, I don't believe that stuff you're preaching. I don't believe that stuff you're reading out of the Bible. It didn't hurt my feelings. I knew what was right and what was wrong. And I'm saying to myself, you unbelievers are heading for the lake. You're going to hit the wall one of these days. Listen to this now. He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the Holy Jerusalem, descending from God out of heaven, having the glory of God. And her light was the light as unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And that city had a great wall. Do you think you could open that beautiful gate to the temple? You ought to try one of these gates. It gets into the wall. You see, I dig under. It's got 12 foundation. No hope. You say, I'll get me something and hop over. It's higher than you can hop. Your only hope is that it's got 12 gates. And each one of these gates just is made of one pearl. Can you imagine one pearl large enough to make a gate like that? That's what's going on here now. A great wall and 12 gates. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the light of it. And the city had no need of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. You want to put your feet on the streets of gold? You've got to get saved. Just the saved are going to go through those gates. Just the saved are going to go into that city. Just the saved. Listen now. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Look in the telephone directory. My name is in there. You know why? Because I'm a subscriber to telephone service. Go to the post office. My name is there in there. I'm a subscriber to postal service. Go to the bank. My name is in there because I have a safety deposit box and a few coins. Go to the Lamb's book of life and my name is in there. And if your name's not in the Lamb's book of life, oh, pitiful soul, what are you waiting for? Are you going to work the abominations of this rotten world, or are you going to get your name in the Lamb's book of life? And I could go on until it would become more boresome than it already is. But I think that's enough. I think you ought to be ready to make the right decision right here. Right now. Come on, musicians. We're going to give an invitation. What I want you to do is trust Christ. See, Dr. Henderson, I don't know how. I don't know what to do. Tell you what I did 81 years ago. I put a tiny hand in the nail-scarred hand. It was all right. I put my hand in the hand of an unchanging God, and it's all right. I don't have to worry about it. When my feet go in the cold waters of Jordan, my hand will still be in the nail-scarred hand. And I walk across dry shod. I walk across without pain and without fear because I'm saved. Not because of what I've done, but because of what my Savior did. Because of what He has done. It'll work. Don't turn this down. I was reading from Revelation 21. If you want to look at it at a later time and read these things again. But hear me. Your needs are all wrapped up right here. And if you're not careful, you'll start doing the abominations of the world. And some things are certainly abominable, aren't they? But if you walk with Him, all is well. Why don't you come right quick and say to the pastor, I don't understand all this, but I got to get saved. I don't understand all this, but I want to join the church. I want to be a part of God's people. Stand quietly all over the congregation looking right up here. Give me the music, madam. Give me the song, son. Come on now, if you need to do something for God. Come on, if you need to come to the altar and pray, come on.